this week being Parshas Yisro is an opportunity for us to talk about some of the halachic issues that emerge from the Aseres Hadibros. Aseres Hadibros, as we know, the Rishonim, Rashi and Parshas Mishpatim, Reb Sadia Gaon, the Ramban writes it as well, that the Aseres Hadibros are in some way considered to be the foundation of Kol HaTorah Kula. This is really the pivotal and most central instructions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Jewish people. And from here is where we come to all the other aspects of Torah. In fact, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis, Heim Iker Hadas V'Reishiso, that this is so fundamental, it's so basic, it's the underlying principles of all that we observe in the Torah. And from here is where we come to all the other aspects of Torah as well. We know the Torah tells us that in this week's Parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was discussing the giving of the Torah. In the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the first two, Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha. And after that, Parchu Nishmasam, the Gemara says, the Jewish people couldn't handle that experience. It was just too much presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at one time. And from that time on, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who gave the rest of the Aseres Hadibros. So the Arachaim HaKadosh writes in this week's Parsha, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the first two himself? What do you think? This was just, the Jewish people could only handle the first two and then they passed out and then there was no reason to go any further. So obviously the Arachaim HaKadosh says that there was more to it than just that. And he says the reason why is because this really highlights and underscores the entirety of Torah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is really the yesod of all mitzvahs haseh. It's to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo Yelecha is the yesod of all mitzvahs los haseh. Lo Yelecha is formulated in a lashon of do not do this. And therefore, says the Arachaim HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pointing out to the Jewish people, there's a category of mitzvahs that is referred to as mitzvahs haseh, as positive mitzvahs. There are other ones that are referred to as mitzvahs los haseh. But all of those, you should know, are subsumed under that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated with you as a people at Har Sinai. So the Aseres Hadibros are very, very important. In fact, the Yerushalmi tells us that every day when we say Kriya Shema, we make reference, a backhanded reference, to the Aseres Hadibros, and we remind ourselves of the Aseres Hadibros two times a day. Every morning when we say Kriya Shema then, and every evening when we say Kriya Shema once again. How do we find a reference to the Aseres Hadibros in the words of Kriya Shema? So the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes this Yerushalmi, and he goes through a exact listing of how we're supposed to think about the Aseres Hadibros when reciting Kriya Shema. Number one, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, when we say Hashem Elokeinu, that is the same as Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's recognizing the first of the Aseres Hadibros. We end off that sentence by saying Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad, says the Mishnah Berurah, is the second of the Aseres Hadibros, Lo Yilecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. Not only do I have to believe in Hashem, I also have to believe that there's no one else other than Hashem. Hashem Echad means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only. Ve'ahavta as Hashem Elokecha, the Mishnah Berurah writes from the Yerushalmi, is a reference to Lo Sisa Lecha Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. If you love and respect and cherish who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you're not just going to throw around his name in vain. You're going to have more respect for it than you otherwise would. So that's what we mean when we say Ve'ahavta. Uchsavtam is supposed to remind me of Lo Sachmod. Uchsavtam al mezuzah speisecha means I should write a mezuzah and put it on the doorpost of my home. How does that remind me of Lo Sachmod? What is the connection? The Yerushalmi says the answer is because it says Uchsavtam al mezuzos beisecha. Beisecha means I should worry about what's going on in my home and I shouldn't covet things that are going on in Beis Chavercha. It's none of my business what's going on in someone else's house. It's not something that's destined for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me whatever I'm supposed to have. He'll give them whatever they're supposed to have. And that's a reference to Lo Sachmod. The Pasuk says in Ve'ahavta, Ve'asavta deganecha, that we're going to be bountiful, we're going to be able to bring in the produce. And from there, the Yerushalmi says, we learn Lo Signov. You bring in your produce, somebody else will bring in his produce. And nobody should feel that they have a need to steal from anyone else. Va'avadate mehera, when the Torah makes reference to the fact that we will be destroyed, va'avadate mehera, you're going to lose your lives, that is a reference to Lo Sirtzach, that we should make sure not to end anyone else's life, not to bring about someone else's demise. The Pasuk says in the end, it says, Leman Yirbu.
UHF is connected.
Sorry. The Pasuk says, Leman Yirbu Yemechem. And from here, we have a reference to Kabed Esavicha Ve'esimecha. What's the connection between Kabed Esavicha Ve'esimecha? Because the Torah says, Leman Ya'arichun Yamecha. If you're careful about Kibbutz Ave'im, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you're going to have an Arichas Yamin. And as a result of that, we have a reference to it when we say, Leman Yirbu Yemechem. The Torah says, Lo Sasuru Acharei Levavchem Va'acharei Einechem. That is a direct correlation to Lo Sinof. The way to hold ourselves back from being involved in any kind of illicit or promiscuous activity is to make sure that we don't give in to our heart's desire and into the things that we see. The Man Tizkru is a reference to Zachar as Yom HaShabbos. And when we say, Ani Hashem Elokecha Memes, that is a reminder of Losana Bereacha Eid Shaker. Don't ever be a person who says something that is not true, that is false. Because as we know, Hashem is an entity that represents everything that is truthful, everything that is emes in the world. In fact, the Gemara says, Chosamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there were to be such a thing, it would be emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would just sign his name, Aleph Mem Tov. That is the representation of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So, we know that Aseres HaDibros have a very, very central place in our religion. And that being the case, this is why the Mishnah says in Maseches Tamid that at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when they used to daven in the Beis HaMikdash every day, part of the formulation of the tefillah was they used to actually recite the Aseres HaDibros every day as part of the davening. It was included, it was incorporated as an integral part of the tefillah every day in the Beis HaMikdash. There's an interesting story about Rabbi Shmelka Miniklisberg, lived in the 1700s, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes, that every time a prominent individual would come through the city, through the town of Nikolsburg, they would tell him, we have what's referred to as a pinkas hakehila. We have something that we keep in the shul, and everybody writes something down as they're traveling through the town, and they get an opportunity to see a little bit of what the flavor of our community is. So everybody writes something down that they think people should be more careful about. So, you know, you notice little things here and there, something that you may not have otherwise noticed if you're somebody who's in the town all the time. So they used to have a minog, they used to have a practice that any prominent person who passed through town, they would give him the pinkas hakehila, and they would ask them to write a little note about what their experience was like and one way that they can refine themselves. And they would leave it in the shul, and they would have people read it on their way into shul. So people wrote, you know, when you're inviting in a guest, you should offer them this, you should offer them that, they're coming from a long trip, whatever they used to write. So Rabbi Shmelka Miniklisberg came to the town, and they asked him to write something in the book, and he writes the Aseres HaDibros. So they said to him, what do you mean, you're writing the Aseres HaDibros? We all know the Aseres HaDibros. He said, yeah, if you were as careful about all the fine print on the bottom as you are about the Aseres HaDibros, which are the most important things, we would have a much better Jewish people. So it's important every so often to remind ourselves about not just the fine details, the fine print, that you know, we should be machmir on this little chumrah, on that little chumrah, on this hidr, and that thing. We should be careful about the principles themselves, where the Torah tells us these are the most foundational, fundamental principles, like the Rambam says, Heim Iker Hadas V'Rishiso. This is what Kala Torah Kula is based upon, is the Aseres HaDibros. So, as we said, the Mishnah says in Maseches Tamid, that every day in the Beis HaMikdash, they incorporated the Aseres HaDibros into the actual tefillah. So you ever wonder, how come when you look through our Siddur, if this is such a fundamental part of our religion, and this is something that in the Beis HaMikdash they used to say as part of the davening every day, then how come we don't find it in our Siddur? Why do we not say Aseres HaDibros every day as part of the davening? Now, I'm not advocating that davening should be any longer. We have plenty of things to say, and the Siddur gives us many opportunities to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different ways, but why is the Aseres HaDibros so glaringly left out of the tefillah, if in fact they said it in the times of the Beis HaMikdash? This is a question that is asked by the Gemara itself. The Gemara is in Maseches Brachos Daf Yud Beis, where the Gemara tells us as follows. Let's learn the Gemara together. V'korin Aseres HaDibros. This is talking about in the Beis HaMikdash. What was the Seder HaTfila? What did they daven every day? Says the Gemara, they used to say the Aseres HaDibros, followed by Shema, V'hayayim Shema'a, V'yomer Emes V'yatziv, V'avoda. Right? We have Avoda today, which is we say Ritzei. Ritzei is a Tfila that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us back to the times of the Beis HaMikdash. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash itself, they did the Avoda, and they spoke about, they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our Avoda that we did should be accepted. That was actual, that was real, a description of what was being done. Ubirchas Kohanim. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So that was the Beis HaMikdash tefillah every day. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel comes along and he says, Af Bigvulin Bikshalikros Kain. Even outside, Bigvulin means in the boundaries, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to have the same policy, that we should also have this Seder HaTfilah, and we should incorporate the Aseres HaDibros as well. So why don't we? Says the Gemara, Ela Shekvar Bitlo Mipnei Tarumas Aminim. they thought originally it was a good idea for us to have Aseres HaDibros as part of the davening. But then they said, no, you know what? We're going to scratch the idea because Tarumas Aminim. What does Tarumas Aminim mean? Tarumas Aminim means you have all kind of skeptics who may be as part of the community. And if you're going to get up and say the Aseres HaDibros and davening every day, people are going to mistakenly think, oh, the only authentic part of Torah is the Aseres HaDibros. Everything else the rabbis made up. Everything else is not really part of Torah. And how do I prove it? How do I know that it's true that only the Aseres HaDibros are the relevant parts of Torah and everything else is totally irrelevant? I can prove it because in the davening itself, the only part of Torah that we highlight is the Aseres HaDibros. We don't talk about anything else. So, Mepnei Tarumas Aminim, because we're afraid that people are going to potentially walk away with the mistaken impression that maybe this part of Torah is greater than that part of Torah, or this is the only real and authentic part of Torah and the other is not, therefore we say, you know what, take the Aseres HaDibros out of the davening, even though it would have made sense for it to be in our tefillah every day because it's so foundational to who we are. It's so fundamental. We should remind ourselves of the Aseres HaDibros every day. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Kedei shelo yomer haminim la'amei haaretz. You have heretics who are going to convince all the unlearned people, she'ein shar ha-Torah emes, that the rest of the Torah is illegitimate. V'ha-hochacha l'kach, how are they going to prove it? Sha'arei ein korim b'chol yom el ha-Aseres HaDibros. We're going to prove it because in our davening, we only say the Aseres HaDibros, and we don't say passages, we don't say portions from the rest of Torah. Must be that that's the only authentic part, that's the only part of Torah we have to worry about, and everything else is irrelevant. Now, based on this, the Rashba, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, Reb Shlomo ben Aderes, in the early 1300s, the Rashba writes in a tshuva. He was asked, let's learn it together, number Dalet, Mahu lomar Aseres HaDibros b'shachris b'beis HaKnesses? Am I allowed to say the Aseres HaDibros as part of the davening in the morning before I go to work? V'sheyesh anashim sherotzim lahanakeh mitzibur. There are some people who want to bring back the old practice that was in the Beis HaMikdash, and they want to, once again, say the Aseres HaDibros in the context of a tefillah. Says the Gemara, Aser Lasos Kein. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm sorry, the Rashba writes, Aser Lasos Kein. I'm not allowed to do that. Shekvar bitlua bipnei tarumas aminim. He's just quoting the Gemara. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do it because we're concerned that maybe there are going to be all kinds of skeptics in the crowd, and they're going to make people believe that the rest of Torah is not legitimate. Now, why does the Rashba use this strong terminology, Aser Lasos Kein? What does it mean, Aser Lasos Kein? You could say it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea because maybe this is going to lead to that. So I think what he means to say here is, the Rambam writes in a tshuva, imagine you have someone, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, someone who says that they believe Ein Torah min HaShamayim is considered as deemed to be an apikoros. If you believe that the Torah was not given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every word in the Torah is not authentic, that's considered an apikoros. Ein lo chelek l'olam haba. It's a very short list of people. You know, we say, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek l'olam haba. That's the famous part of the Mishnah. It says, everyone has a portion of the world to come. What we don't know about is, the end of the Mishnah says, except for the following individuals. One of them is somebody who does not believe in the authenticity of Torah, that it's min ha-shamayim. So that is something that the Rambam tells us. Now, the Rambam then expands on that idea, and he says, Ein hevdil, there is no difference between misha makhlish as haTorah bechlala. There's no difference between someone who gets up and says, you know what, the Torah is not real, the Torah is not authentic, it was all made up by man, and there's no reason why I have to follow it, and lebein makhlish pasuk echa ben haTorah. The Rambam says it would be the same if a person stood up and said that there's a portion of Torah, or one pasuk of the Torah, or one mitzvah in the Torah that doesn't speak to me. So this is why we have a big problem in our generation. Because there are psukim in the Torah that make people in our generation uncomfortable. Now, makes me uncomfortable also. But this is the Torah. So I don't care how uncomfortable you are or I am or anyone else is, but this is the eternal Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And the Rambam says, a person who believes that any portion of Torah is less authentic than any other is considered Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. Just understand the consequence of that belief. Understand the consequence of saying, there's a difference between saying there is a mitzvah or an avera in the Torah or there's a pasuk in Chumash that makes me personally uncomfortable. Okay. There's a difference between saying it makes you uncomfortable and saying, therefore, we don't follow it, or therefore we don't believe in it. That means you're an apikoros. That's exactly what the Rambam says. That means ein lo chelek l'olam haba, which is a tragedy. That would be a terrible thing. So the Rambam here says, if a person believes that one aspect of Torah is not min hashamayim, is not authentic, that makes a person already out of the fold. That's ein lo chelek l'olam haba. And that's why the Rashba says over here, we have to be so careful. Because if you give people the mistaken impression that the Aseres HaDibros are the only important part of Torah that is inherently authentic, and you believe that everything else is outside of that category, that would lead us to what the Rambam says, that they have a right to say that everything outside of that is not part of Torah. That's a major problem. That's why the Rashba says this really is a major, major concern. Hold on to your question for 1 second. I just want to finish up this point. So the Tur has a very troubling, a very problematic statement. Writes the Tur as follows. Let's look at number Hey. The Tur is in Siman Aleph, very beginning, when he talks about how we're supposed to daven. So the Torah says, every day we should say the Akedah, Uparshas Haman, right? So we heard about the school of Parshas Haman, Parshas Bishalach on a Tuesday. I don't know where it comes from, but that's what they say. Tuesday you should say Parshas Haman. The Torah says, say Parshas Haman every day. Why every day? Why every day? Why is Echel Haman? Why should I remember the man? There's lots of stories I should remember. But we do that every day in Kriya Shema. We remind ourselves of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what's the significance of the Parshas Haman? What's the subtext of Parshas Haman? What does Parshas Haman teach us? Bitachon. That all of our parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That as much as we try, and as much as we set up a system, and all the hishtalos that we do, in the end of the day, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give it to us, we won't have it. And that's why the Torah says, start off your day every day reminding yourself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in charge of your parnasa. And you're going to go out, and you're going to try to make a parnasa, and you're going to have meetings, and you're going to this, and you're going to that, and you're going to think about cheating on your income taxes, and you're going to be thinking about being dishonest in this business deal. Just remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that gives parnasa. And if you cheat this person, and you're dishonest in business over there, it's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to help you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure to give you a parnasa, and if he decides you won't have a parnasa, you won't have it. I remember I was meeting with someone who was in the, he's part of the simcha industry, many different aspects of the simcha industry, and he was saying that every time he sits down with a potential client, even though he's been involved in, you know, hundreds of weddings before, and he's not a caterer, he's a part of the industry in another way, and he says he's had many, many clients, and every time he said he sits down, it's like he's starting from scratch. What do you mean? But you were at a wedding that I did last week, and you were at a wedding I did 6 months ago, and you know exactly how I do it. But still, he says every time he has a client, he sits down and he starts from scratch with the client. And he said he has 2 chairs in his office and he just feels like the month falls every day. He said, I have no rhyme or reason to explain why this client is interested in my product and this client is not. I have no rhyme or reason to explain why this member of the community thinks everything I'm offering is wonderful and the other one thinks like, no, you're horrible and I don't want to be a part of you. And he said, it reminds me every day that the month just falls. I have no other reason to explain why I'm able to support my family. It doesn't make sense. I deliver a great product. I give the same product to everyone who comes to me, and yet some people love it and some people hate it. That's the way it is. Says the Tur, Parshas Haman, to recite it every day would be very, very meaningful because it would remind us of the fact that we should have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our parnasa comes from Him. And finally, the Tur says, Aseres HaDibros. We should say the Aseres HaDibros. Excuse me, Rabbi Tur, did you forget the Gemara? The Gemara says that we shouldn't say Aseres HaDibros in the davening. Why? Because we're concerned mipnei tarumas aminim. Don't we have to be concerned that maybe the heretics, maybe the apikoresim are going to misinterpret our recitation of the Aseres HaDibros, and they're going to walk away with the mistaken impression that the Aseres HaDibros are the only important part of Torah, but everything else is irrelevant. Everything else is not authentic. So how does the Torah say that this should be part of the Seder HaTfilah? So the Beis Yosef answers as follows, and he says, perhaps what the Gemara meant to say is, when we're davening b'tzibur, when we're davening as a community, when we're davening as a tzibur, there's always going to be someone in the back of the room who's maybe not fully understanding what it is that we're doing, and someone's going to mistakenly take advantage of that person and convince them, oh, you see, Aseres HaDibros and nothing else. But here the Torah is describing a yachid. If I was davening by myself, what's the best thing for me to do? You should sit at home, daven slowly, says the Torah. You should say Parshas HaKedah to remind you of Mesiras Nefesh and Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and great. And then you should say the Parshas Haman to remind yourself of the Parnasa. And then you should say Aseres HaDibros to remind yourself of the Aseres HaDibros. You're not the heretic. You're not the apikoros. You're not going to make the mistake. The concern is only when we're with a tzibur, that there's going to be somebody in the back of the room somewhere that's not going to have the proper hashkafa that's not going to understand it properly, and that's where the mistake really comes in, which is why in the Shulchan Aruch you find that there are two opinions. Shulchan Aruch says, quoting the Torah, that we should say the Aseres HaDibros every day, and the Ramah says, absolutely not. You cannot say the Aseres HaDibros every day in your davening if you're davening with Tzibur, but if you want to say it at home, fine, there's nothing to be lost, there's nothing wrong with that at all, and to the contrary, it would be something that would be potentially good, says the Ramah, because I would be able to be reminded every day of the foundational, fundamental aspects of Judaism that all of Kala Torah Kula is based upon. Okay, we have some questions. Yeah?
You answered it with the Torah.
Okay.
I was going to ask if you make the conscious decision not to, like the conscious decision that saying the Aseres HaDibros isn't the only part of Torah. Can you say it? And then you kind of answer it with the
Okay. Great. You have a question.
What about, like, Kriya Shema?
Oh, so you're saying, why aren't we concerned about saying Kriya Shema every day? Well, there, the Torah says you have to say Kriya Shema every day. That is the mitzvah. Right? You have to say Kriya Shema Shachas Rabbis. What?
And the concern doesn't apply then, or it does?
I think the reason why it's a bigger concern here is because Aseres HaDibros are given such a prominent stance. And as a result of that, and we're saying that the entirety of Torah is based off of that, that's where the concern really is. I think so. Other questions? Okay. So now, the crux of the issue that comes out of this is that there's a danger in highlighting one aspect of Torah over another because people may mistakenly think that this one is authentic and the others are not. There's a fascinating Gemara Masechus Erevin. The Gemara there is talking about a particular discussion in Erevin that has nothing to do with this at all. But the Gemara says one of the Amoraim is talking to his friend and he tells over a halacha to his friend, communicates the halacha, and his friend says, wow, Shmua Zuna, that's a great halacha you just told me. And his other friend turns to him and says, okay, that means, to the exclusion of everything else, means everything else I said is terrible? So I don't know. I don't think so negatively. When someone sends me a nice email, I don't say, oh, that means every other shiur that I ever gave that you didn't comment on was terrible. It just means this one stood out to me. I don't know. But the Gemara says that someone
who... is connected.
That someone who says, Shmua Zuna, someone who says that this area of Torah is something that is my favorite. This is amazing, right? You ever come to the Shabbos table, or you should, and say, you know, I heard this amazing Dvar Torah. What does that mean? Is everything else is terrible? No, it just means this one stood out to me. So the Gemara says you should never say Shmua Zuna. You should never say, oh, this area of Torah is like so amazing. I love the Ramchal, or I love this, because that means I hate everything else. So the Gemara says you shouldn't say that, because you're going to give too much prominence to one area, and you're going to downplay the other areas. And the truth is that the entirety of Torah is something that is Torah Hashem Tamima. The entirety of Torah is what makes the beauty of Torah when it all comes together. Actually, on Simchas Torah, there are many, many shuls that raffle off aliyos or, you know, different parts of the davening, different things. So you have a creative gabbai who's going to stand up and say, you know, or Atah HaResa. They're going to raffle off, you know, who wants to say Atah HaResa? So they're going to say, oh, Kanechel Yubashut Tzedek, that's like the greatest pasuk, and this one is that. And they start giving speeches about each aliyah to try to get people to buy it. Oh, it's skula, if you buy this aliyah, it's like a skula for who knows what or that. So the Shalah Kaddish actually says that he took offense to that. Because you're basically saying, oh, you should buy this aliyah because this is really chashuv, this is really important. And you should ignore the other aliyah because that's not. You should buy this pasuk in Atah HaResa because, oh, this pasuk is really special and the other one is irrelevant. So again, he took that as a spin-off of this discussion in the Gemara. It's interesting because Rashi writes in Parshas Korach that in the very beginning of the Parsha, Rashi says that he quotes the Midrashim, and he says, Parsha zu yafa nidreshes. This Parsha is very beautifully described in the Midrash. So some of Farshim ask, how could Rashi say that? Parsha zu yafa nidreshes. What do you mean, Rashi's saying? All the other Midrashim on Chumash are not so good. And this one, like, oh, the Midrash did a really good job explaining Parshas Korach. What? Parshas Korach is so difficult to understand? So some explain, maybe what he means is, I think the Taz writes this in the Sefer on Chumash, maybe what Rashi means is, that parsha zu yafa nidreshes. Usually the job of the rabbi is, on this week's parsha, you're supposed to talk about this week's parsha. Wouldn't make sense for me to get up this week, Parshas Yisro, and talk about something in Parshas Kisisa. It's not relevant to what we're talking about. Everyone's minds should be thinking about Parshas Yisro after Kriyas HaTorah. So you get up and you say something. But Rashi says, what's the exception to the rule? When does the rabbi get up and speak about something that's not having to do with the parsha? Well, the week before Hanukkah, you speak about Hanukkah. And Pesach, you speak about Pesach. And Purim, you're going to talk about Purim. Or if something's in Yama, the Yama, right? We had a big tragedy in Turkey, and people are suffering the devastating loss of their loved ones because of a horrific earthquake. So you get up and you talk about it this Shabbos, even though it has nothing to do with the Parsha. but you make people sensitive to inyan adiyama. Says Rashi, when we read Parshas Korach, Parsha zu yafa nidreshes. Every week, if you get up and talk about machlokes, it's always relevant. It's always good. Because that's something that always needs reinforcement in our community. Rashi doesn't mean to say that this medrash is better than any other medrash. All Rashi means to say, Parsha zu yafa nidreshes. Anytime a person gets up and talks about the issue of machlokes and tries to bring more shalom into the world, it's always a good thing to talk about because, unfortunately, there's such a lack of it in the world. And it's always a good opportunity to focus on it. So there's a lot of discussion in Achronim, actually, what we're allowed to place on top of a paroches or on top of an Aron Kodesh. You go into a shul and you see all kinds of things on the paroches or on top of the Aron. You see things are hanging, different artwork. So what are we allowed to do and what perhaps not? The Magen Avram actually writes as follows. The Magen Avram, I didn't put it on here, but the Magen Avram says the following, that you're not allowed to have the Aseres HaDibros printed out in a shul for the very same reason that the Gemara gives why we're not allowed to say it in the Davening. So he says, if you're going to have a big sign on the wall that highlights the Aseres HaDibros, writes the Magen Avram, that's going to lead people to the same mistaken impression, which is that the Aseres HaDibros are the important parts of Torah, and every other part of Torah is not as relevant. It's secondary. So the Magen Avraham says we shouldn't do it. Now, anybody in this room ever been to a shul where you have the Aseres HaDibros on top of the yard? I'm sure, right? Many of us have. So the Magen Avraham says you're not allowed to. So how do you explain it? How do you defend the minhag? So this is actually something that is raised in the Sefer Birchas Aron. Birchas Aron is the Sefer Amasechus Brachos written by the Reisha Rav. The Reisha Rav was a Rav in Europe before the war. And he writes in his Sefer that this is something that really bothered him. Lo emna milahatzik po madetmiya liktsas amasha reisi baharbi batek mesiyas. He says, I've gone to many shuls, and right next to the Aron, they have all kinds of things to beautify the Aron, and on top of it, they put a beautiful painting or a picture of what they believe are the Aseres HaDibros. So he says, lo chashu bezele tarum asaminim. Why are they not concerned? The same way the Gemara was concerned that maybe somebody's going to have the mistaken impression that only the Aseres HaDibros are relevant and nothing else is, why don't we have the same concern by putting the Aseres HaDibros in a shul, just as the Magen Avraham writes. You're not allowed to have the Aseres HaDibros there. So some suggest maybe the reason is because if you're just going to have a sign in the shul that has the Aseres HaDibros, so then maybe someone's going to make the mistake. But where do we place the Aseres HaDibros in a shul? Where do we put it? Right on top of the Aron. So anyone who's following the sequence knows these are the Aseres HaDibros that are the foundation of the Torah that is inside of the Aron. Who's going to make a mistake? If you have the Aseres HaDibros by themselves hanging on a wall, maybe somebody will only notice that. They won't notice the rest. But somebody's looking at the front of Shul and they see the Aron Kodesh that has the Sifrei Torah inside, that has the entirety of Torah. And then you have the Aseres HaDibros right on top of it. It means this is the fundamental aspect of all that the Torah stands for. Doesn't mean this to the exclusion of anything else. That's what some suggest. But again, this all comes from this idea that the Gemara mentions. Now we have a Gemara Maseches Kiddushin Daf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara says that when you're in the presence of a Sefer Torah, you have to stand up. When do you have to stand up? Mishnah Berurah qualifies the statement and says the only time you have to stand is when the Sefer Torah is in motion. But when the Sefer Torah is in a stationary position, there's no reason to stand up. So say, for example, when we open up the Aron Kodesh on Yom Narayim, because we're saying some piyutim and we open the Aron for that, but we don't take the Sefer Torah out, Me'ikar Adin, Shulchan Aruch would say you don't have to stand up. It's only when the Sefer Torah is in motion from place A to place B and it's not in its final destination, then we would say, out of Kavod HaTorah, we have to stand up. Okay, there's actually, the Gemara there is very fascinating. The Gemara says, it's a strange Gemara because it's backwards in one place than it is from the other place. The Gemara says, in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Gimel, how do you know you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah? Anybody know? How do you know you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah? So the Gemara says, let's figure it out. Yeah? Right, so the Gemara says, we have a Kal v'chomer. You have to stand up, v'hadarta p'nei zakein, if you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, then certainly you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah. So that's where the Gemara learns in Maseches Kiddushin. That's how we know they want us to stand for a Sefer Torah. What's the implication? Who's greater, Talmud Chacham or Sefer Torah? Sefer Torah, because the Gemara is saying, if we're told that we have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, then of course you have to stand up for Sefer Torah, which means Sefer Torah is greater. Okay, put that on the side for a minute. Let's now travel to a Gemara Maseches Makos. The Gemara says the opposite. Says the Gemara, Hani Bavloi Tipshoi, these communities are so silly. Dimekame Mikame Sefer Torah, Velo Mikame Mikame Gavarabba. It sounds like say it 10 times fast, but it's really what the Gemara says. How silly, how foolish these people are that they stand up for a great Talmud Chacham, but they don't stand up. I'm sorry, that they stand up for a Sefer Torah when we take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh. Everybody stands up, right? Nobody sits down. But lo mekame mekame gavarabba. They don't stand up when you have a Talmud Chacham walk in the room. Nobody notices. Nobody pays attention. What's the implication there? Talmud Chacham's greater. Right? The Gemara is saying how silly people are that they stand up for a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. What do you mean? Why should I stand up for a Talmud Chacham? He's less than a Sefer Torah. The answer is, says the Gemara, no, Talmud Chacham's greater. How do I know? I'll prove it, says the Gemara. How do you know a Talmud Chacham is greater than a Sefer Torah? So the Gemara tells us the following. The Torah says, Arbaim Yakenu. The Torah says, when somebody does something wrong and they're Chayiv Malkus, they have to be punished with lashes. How many times are you supposed to hit them? What does the Torah say? What? Arbaim Yakenu. Torah says, hit the person 40 times. Again, not for every Aveira, only certain conditions have to be met. Okay, hit them 40 times. How many times do we actually hit them? 39. How do you know that? Who told you? Who told you instead of 40 to do 39? Chazal darshan the pasuk. It says, Arbaim Yakenu. Along came the Chacham and said, no, 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 don't read the pasuk literally. It doesn't mean 40. We're only going to hit him 39 times. What do you mean? Who are you? Who are you to say that? The Torah says 40. I'm going to follow the Torah. I'm not going to follow you. The answer is, you see, that the power of a Talmud Chacham is even greater than the Torah. I can stand in front of the Talmud Chacham from today till tomorrow and show him the pasuk in Chumash says 40. How do you contradict the pasuk in Chumash? The answer is, Talmud Chacham has more power than the pasuk in Chumash. And he's able to reinterpret the pasuk. Instead of meaning 40, it means 39. So you know there's a story. I don't know if you know the story or not, but you should know the story. It's a great story. A story about Reb Chaim Moser, who was the Gadol HaDor in Europe before the war, and the Ostravtsa Rebbe. I don't know anything about him, but he was known to be a very great tzaddik. So, for some reason, every great story in Europe happened in the forest somewhere on vacation. Everybody met up in this place. And Reb Chaim Moser was together with this Rebbe once. And they both met up in the forest. And they started a conversation. And each one was saying to the other, you know, you should say the first of our Torah. You're the God of Hador. And he says, no, you're a famous Rebbe. And you're this. You're older than me. You're younger than me. Whatever. And back and forth. They couldn't get a conversation started. Finally, one turns to the other and he says, you're another Gadol. So you should say first. He says, you know what? You're talking about a Gavur Rabba, about an Adam Gadol. Let me tell you something that the Gemara says about a Gavur Rabba. This Gemara here that we just spoke about says how foolish people are that they stand up for a Sefer Torah, and they don't stand up for a Gavur Rabba. They don't stand up for a big person, for a Talmud Chacham. How do we know that a Talmud Chacham is greater than the Torah? As we just said, Torah says you should hit somebody 40 times, and the Gavur Rabba, Talmud Chacham, said, no, it should only be 39. Anybody know which parsha do we learn that from? Which parsha is the story of Malkus, of Arbaim Yakenu? Uh-oh. Okay, by next year, when everyone goes through the parsha for a whole year, we'll know the answer. It's in Parshas Ki Tzetze. Which sefer is Parshas Ki Tzetze in? Devarim. The very, very end of the Torah. So where do we prove that a Talmud Chacham is so great from? Parshas Ki Tzetze, all the way in the end, where it says, hit somebody 40 times, Talmud Chacham says 39. Is there anywhere in the Torah much earlier in Parshas Ki Tzetze where we find the same idea? Anybody can think of an example. The Torah says one number, and we change it to be something else. Much earlier on Chumash.
Bereshit.
Bereshit what?
Noach.
Bereshit Noach what?
Like,
what? No, where's an example in the Torah where the Torah gave a number of something? And the Chazal came along and said, no, it doesn't really mean that. It means something else, yeah?
430 years
in Mitzrayim. So that, it doesn't say exactly how many years they ended up being there. We have a tradition, but where is an example where the Torah says, this is how it has to be done? Chazal came along and said, no, it's wrong. It's not that. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with the Yontif. So we just worded it down, yeah? No. The Torah says you have to keep 8 days of Pesach. Right? So, I mean, Sfeika D'Yoma is different. That's the Rabbanan. But Where did the Chachamim reinterpret a pasuk to say it doesn't mean what it said, but you're close, you're getting warm? Has to do with Shavuos. Close. Right, so the Torah says, Tisperu Chamishim Yom. What does the Torah say? In between Pesach and Shavuos, you should count 50 days. Now, nobody counts 50 days, we only count 49. Why? Chazal said it doesn't mean 50 days, it means 49 days. Tisperu Chamishim Yom means somewhere near 50 days, it really means 49. No? So why, when the Gemara wants to prove the value of a Talmud Chacham and how much we have to give respect to a Talmud Chacham, why do we go all the way down to the end of the Chumash, Parshas Kisetze by Malkus Abraham Yakenu? Why don't we bring a proof from much earlier, which is what? Sfiras HaOmer, when we're told Tisperu Chamishim Yom, and they changed it to 49. So the answer the Ostrovtsi Rebbe said as follows. There are many smart people in the world. It doesn't make you a Talmud Chacham. What makes somebody a Talmud Chacham, a Jewish leader? What makes somebody someone who deserves our respect? Not somebody who knows how to read a pasuk. Oh, it says 50, it means 49. I know how to use the Klalim and the Torah to reinterpret a pasuk. Okay, big deal. Lots of people can do that. Lots of people can do that. There were many Tanoim and Amoraim, many great people who knew the rules, who knew how to read the pasuk in Chumash, and knew how to reinterpret it. You know what's a great person? When you see a Rasha lying on the floor in Beis Din, about to get his Malkus. And he deserves it. Do you know what are the conditions for a person to get Malkus? It's not someone who did it by mistake. It's someone who was warned explicitly. We told a person, if you do this, you're going to get whipped. You're going to get lashes. You're doing something wrong. And he has to respond, Afal Pikin Aniyosa. I'm doing it in spite. Anyway, so you see that person lying on the floor in the Beis Din and crying in pain. And you say, you know, we have to do something to lessen the burden of even the Baal Aveira. We're not going to hit him 40 times. You know what? We're going to figure out how to make a drasha to hit him only 39 times. That's a gavur rava. That's a great person. It's nothing to do with changing a pasuk in Chumash, reinterpreting it. Gavur rava is a person who has place in their heart, even for the tremendous baal aveira like this individual, and figures out how to lighten the load of even that person. That's a gavur rava. Beautiful part. Yeah?
Does that mean that the Oster were too rabbi didn't believe that specific drasha was not
of course he did. I think it's just a drasha. I think it's just a beautiful
is
idea.
Is it possible that it was not from Sinai?
I don't think so. It's just a nice idea. So here, there's actually an interesting shaila in the Tzitz Eliezer. So the Gemara here says, you know, Talmud Chacham, Sefer Torah, which one's greater? The Tzitz Eliezer writes that one year, it was on Simchas Torah, and there was a great Talmud Chacham who was carrying a Sefer Torah, and he tripped. And he fell down, and the Sefer Torah fell down. And a big discussion ensued. Who do we pick up first? Now, I would have said, stop discussing it and pick up both. But okay, everyone got into a discussion. Who's more important? What's the Gemara's bottom line? Is the Sefer Torah more important, or is the Talmud Chacham more important? But the whole crux of the question is, this Gemara, what do we assume is the status of the Talmud Chacham when we talk about the Talmud Chacham versus the Torah itself? Okay, so either way, the Gemara says you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah when the Sefer Torah is in motion. That's for sure. What about when we read from the Sefer Torah? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if I'm the one reading from the Sefer Torah personally, then I have to stand up. If I'm just one of the passive participants who's listening in shul as the Sefer Torah is being read, Shulchan Aruch says, I'm not mechuyev to stand up. I don't have to stand up. Now he says, it would be a chibuv ha-mitzvah. It would definitely be something extra special. It would show how much I respect the Torah, but it's not something I have an obligation to do. While the Torah is being read, I don't have to stand up. I'm able to sit down while it's being done. So the Shulchan Aruch does say, though, that while the Birchas HaTorah is being recited, I should stand up. Okay, so here's the problem. Problem is, how many people in the room, nothing to be embarrassed of, how many people in the room every Shabbos, if you go to shul, and they read from the Sefer Torah, how many people stand up during Kriyas HaTorah? Sometimes, right? So sometimes it doesn't count. How many people stand up religiously every week when they read from the Sefer Torah? Bella, okay. One. Anybody else?
Two.
Okay, the growers stand up for Kriyas HaTorah. Most people in the room don't stand up when you read from the Sefer Torah every Shabbos, which is what the Shulchan Aruch says. You don't have to. How many people in the room this Shabbos, when they read the Aseres HaDibros, are going to have somebody who's going to make an announcement, shul, all rise for the Aseres HaDibros? Right? You're all going to stand up. Why? Why? What? Because you're told to. Now, who told the Gabbai to say that? Whoever says it. Who said you're supposed to do that? right? Don't we have the same concern? The same way the Gemara says we did not incorporate Aseres HaDibros into the daily davening because we're concerned that maybe people are going to walk away with a mistaken impression that Aseres HaDibros are more prominent, more important than anything else. Well, if that's the case, why don't we also have the issue that if we never stand up for Kriyas HaTorah during the whole duration of the year, we read from the Torah every Shabbos, but suddenly it comes this Shabbos, Parshas Yisro, or in the summertime, Parshas Veschanan, and we get up to the Aliyah of reading the Aseres HaDibros, all of a sudden we make it out, oh, everyone please stand up. What do you mean please stand up? So 51 weeks of the year, I don't care about the Torah that's being read. And 1 week of the year when I read the Aseres HaDibros, oh, no, this is very important. All of a sudden I have to stand up. Isn't that a concern? So let's see. The Rambam writes about it in the Tshuva. Let's read the Rambam together. The Rambam was asked, Odos Masha Hora Chachamecha. This is the bottom of the page, number Ches. Shekol Ish Asher Yamo Be'ez Kriyas Aseres HaDibros Roy Ligerbo. The Rambam was asked, does it make sense that we should object to people standing up when we read the Aseres HaDibros? The feet. This is apikursos. To stand up for the Aseres HaDibros basically says to the world that I believe Aseres HaDibros have a different status than everything else. I don't care about the Kriyas HaTorah the rest of the year, but Aseres HaDibros are very important to me. That was the question that was posed to the Rambam. Would you be allowed to stand? The Rambam brings The Rambam says he doesn't like it. And this is a big discussion. The bottom line of the Rambam is that he thinks this is a terrible thing to do. Nobody should stand up for the Aseres HaDibros this week because we're concerned that maybe someone's going to walk away with the mistaken impression that the Aseres HaDibros are more important or have a different status than any other part of Torah. And that would be a terrible thing. And therefore, the Rambam says, this is something we should absolutely not do. This is something we should discourage people from doing because it's going to make them have the wrong takeaway message from the standing up that we do when reading the Aseres HaDibros. Okay. Now we know there are many, many shuls that do it. So what's the justification? Isn't the line of thought of the Rambam very much appropriate based on what the Gemara says? Which is that we take it out of the davening because we're concerned for the very same reason. Yeah?
Don't they also stand by chanting?
Yeah.
So there's other instances we stand.
So people stand for other things also, true. But maybe you'll walk away with the same problem. Okay, so Shir HaSayam is important. Aseres HaDibros are important. 3 times a year you stand up. Right? So that's the question. So some say the following. There is a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. Ever wonder when we say Kriya Shema every day? We say Shema out loud. We call Ram. Everyone can hear me say Shema. Then when I say Baruch Shem, suddenly I start whispering. Why am I whispering? So the Gemara discusses it. The Gemara says they used to say that they used to say Kriya Shema out loud. And then they said Baruch Shem quietly. And the Gemara says, Mepnei Tarumas Aminim, they stopped. They started to say Baruch Shem out loud. What's Tarumas Aminim? The heretics. Same guys. Same rabble rousers. Yeah, what did they do? They went around convincing people. You see, look at the rabbi up there. He says Kriya Shema. Right after he says that he pledges allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he whispers something, mutters something under his breath. You know what he's saying? Oh, I don't really believe in anything I just said. Right? So they were going around convincing people that the quiet nature of Baruch Shem was undoing everything that we just declared by saying Shema. So they reverted back to the other minhag, which was, we're going to say Baruch Shem out loud. That nobody should walk away and have a mistaken impression that we're saying something under our breath that we don't want anyone to hear. We say Shema Yisrael, followed by Baruch Shem out loud, followed by Be'ahavta. This is how it works. This is what we do. Okay. There were other communities that said, that's ridiculous. Who's going to say such a thing? We don't have such people in our shul. Those people go to a different shul. Those people live in different communities. In our community, we don't have anybody whose imagination is that crazy or who is that agenda-driven that's going to come up with this concocted story and go and convince people that we're denying the authenticity of God right after we say Shema Yisrael. It doesn't make sense. So that's what the Gemara says in Kiddushin, that, I'm sorry, in Pesachim, that those communities where they had a concern for this said Baruch Shem out loud. Those communities where they thought it was ridiculous, it didn't make sense. What's the concern? There are no heretics in our community. There's nobody like that. Who's going to say such a thing? In those communities, they have the minhag like we have, which is they say Shema Yisrael out loud, followed by Baruch Shem, which is said silently. Okay. So far, so good. So some achronim say that's the justification to do what we do today. We don't live in a community, at least many of us don't live in a community, where we have heretics running around the streets, where we have people coming to shul who are looking to pick apart every single thing we do and think, oh, maybe we're undermining the authenticity of Torah because of this or because of that. We're not like that. And therefore, there are some who argue that today, this whole concern of the Rambam is really not relevant. Maybe the Rambam lived at a time where there were theologians, where there were people who used to think like this and who had all these agendas and had these ideas and were trying to undermine the community. We didn't want to give them an opportunity to do so. Today, when we don't have that concern, maybe this is something that we don't have to worry about at all. So this is, in general, the major discussion that I thought was worthy for you to be aware of. It's a very, very big discussion whether or not it's appropriate to stand up for the Aseres HaDibros. The right thing to do, that some say, is you should already begin to stand, the gabbai or the rabbi should make the announcement at the beginning of the aliyah. Some shuls, what they do is, they read all the way till the Aseres HaDibros, then they bang on the bima, or someone will make an announcement, everyone knows to stand up. That's not appropriate, that's what the Rambam says, but if you stand from the beginning of the aliyah, you're showing, I'm standing up. Later on in the aliyah, we're going to get to the Aseres HaDibros, yeah, but I'm standing up 10 or 15 psukim before that. So I'm not highlighting one aspect of Torah over another, I'm giving equal respect to the entire aliyah, and that really highlights the fact that I believe in the entirety of Torah. Soloveitchik said perhaps the reason why we stand up is to reenact the experience of Kabbalah Satorah. As we know, when we had the opportunity to experience Kabbalah Satorah, it was something that was so monumental, it was something that was so impactful to all of us, and it was something that changed the Jewish people forever. So he said to remind ourselves of that experience, Be'ema be'yira be'resus uvizia. My father always likes to say, the Gemara says when you learn Torah, it has to be be'ema, be'yira, be'resus. So some people say the next word is v'zeya. When you learn Torah, it has to be serious. So you have to have trembling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to realize what you're doing. Zeya means sweat. It doesn't mean you should sweat. V'zeya means you should be shaking. L'zazeya means to shake something. So my father likes to point out that everybody mispronounces that word. It's that when we learn Torah, we shouldn't be sweating. When we learn Torah, we should be shaking. We should be realizing how important this endeavor is. Or if Soloveitchik said, if on the occasion of Kabbalah Satorah we all stood at attention and made sure to pay attention as best as we can and made sure to give it the requisite respect that it deserved, then perhaps that's why we stand up now when we read from the Aseres HaDibros as well. Because that's just to reenact that experience of Kabbalah Satorah, which is why the Matan Moshe quotes from the Medrash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Banai, Hayu Korinas HaParsha Azos Aseres HaDibros, when you read the parsha of the Aseres HaDibros, ki'ilu atem omdim lifnei har Sinai u'mekablam es haTorah. It's as if you're standing in front of har Sinai and reenacting the whole experience of Kabbalah Satorah. I said this morning in a shiur I gave in my shul that I feel, you know, they make this announcement, everyone should stand up. So what do? We're robots. We stand up, we sit down. Nobody's paying attention. Why are we standing up? What are we standing up for? Think about it. What's the significance of the reason why we're standing? What's so unique about this? This is the transformative moment of Jewish history. This is what made us who we are. I quoted this morning a Maharal. The Maharal asks an obvious question. We know that there are two components to the Torah. It's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. One without the other would be deficient. Without the Torah Shebal Peh, we wouldn't really know how to practice the Torah Shebichsav. So it's important that we have both, and we give focus to both Torah Shebichsav as well as Torah Shebal Peh, but they have to be integrated. Now, as the Maharal, the Gemara tells us, "Kol Masha Talmud Vasik Asid Nechadish the Rabbo Kvar Nitna LeMoshe Mehar Sinai." Everything that we're going to say, we're going to talk about in our generation, was already told to Moshe Rabbeinu back then. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew all the Mishnayos and all the Gemara and all the Shulchan Aruch. He knew everything. Everything was given to him. Knew. So what's the obvious question? Then why do we have a Torah Shebichsav and a Torah Shebal Peh? Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu streamline the process? And when he went to teach Moshe Rabbeinu everything, why didn't he give Moshe Rabbeinu the entirety of Torah? Written. Let Moshe Rabbeinu give the Jewish people everything in writing. Both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Why do we only get Torah Shebichsav at Har Sinai and Torah Shebal Peh was just left hanging? Would it not have been better to have everything written? And in fact, the reason why we have all the disagreements and all the machloksim over the generation is only because everything is Baal Peh. So you heard this way, I heard that way, I think it's mutter, you think it's usser. If God would have given us the book from the outset, we would have known what to do. So why is it not b'chsav? So the Maharal gives a practical answer, and he says, well, the answer is because it would be too much. What would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us? An endless bookstore? Right? You go into the Svarim store today, and you see, every week there's a new sefer that's printed. So what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given everybody a million Svarim? Yeah, everyone has to have a library in their house of everything? It would be impossible to go into all the details and to write everything down then, and to expect the Jewish people to hold on to all of that would have been an impossibility. That's the practical answer he gives. But the second answer that he gives, to me, was so meaningful. He says, when I look at a Torah Shebichsav, when I have a Chumash, when I have a Sefer Torah, so there's two separate entities. There's me, and there's the Torah. It's a book. It's a finite item. It's an object. And as much as I try to incorporate the Torah into my life, there is a separation between myself and the book. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that we should feel we are the embodiment of Torah. How is he going to do that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to give a major aspect of Torah that is not going to be separate from you. You're going to be the one who has to transmit it. You're going to be the one that is the vehicle of that Torah, which means you are going to transform to become the Torah. Your mouth is the one that's going to share the Torah with your children, with your community, with your students. You're going to be the one who's going to teach Torah. All of Torah Sheva'al Peh is something that will not exist if we were not the ones who did something about it. And by giving us a mouth, by giving us the opportunity and the ability to share Torah as Torah Sheva'al Peh, anybody can read a book. It doesn't make it ours. What makes it ours, what makes me personify Torah and have a real relationship with it, is the fact that there's a Torah Sheva'al Peh that requires my investment to be successful. And therefore, says the Maharal, this was deliberate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided not to give the Torah Sheva'al Peh b'chsav because he wanted that all of us should feel this inherent connection. When we read this Shabbos, the Aseres HaDibros, and whether Yeshua is going to stand up or sit down, whatever it is that they're going to do, all menhagim are wonderful, but whatever it is that they're going to end up doing, realize why it is that we're standing. Realize that this is the moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to all of us and said, you need to become the embodiment of Torah in your life. Torah cannot be a separate entity. Torah cannot just be a book that we pick up sometimes and we put it down and then there's me and there's that. No, you are the Torah. Your whole essence and how you define yourself and how you live your life and how you make decisions is the Torah. That is what is highlighted by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah Sheva'al Peh. And that's the opportunity that we have, as the Matei Moshe writes in the Medrash, every year when we read about Kabbalah Satorah once again, we have an opportunity to be reminded not only of that experience, but to reenact it, to relive it again, and to have that opportunity to appreciate B'chaye Olam Nata B'Sochenu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to be the embodiment of Torah, to relive the experience, and to continue to be the ones to transmit those values and those messages to our children and to all those who will come after us. So, Amir Tashem, we will